Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. In order to keep the unit together, I will begin reading at verse 15 and read down to and including verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, beginning the reading in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. We see today we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, and I believe that the next verse in Colossians chapter 1 will help us to move from the historical setting of the upper room when Jesus first gave the Lord's Supper to the present state of Jesus Christ in eternal glory. Now, as I look back over this text before we come through, we find that as we came into verse 15, we had a whole new setting that Paul was focusing upon, and it was Jesus Christ himself. There are a couple of things here. The supremacy of Jesus Christ is what we find in verse 15 down into 18. And actually, we find the basic idea here is his supremacy. He is supreme over all things. And we find that we open up in more clarity in verse 19 to 23. Last Lord's Day, we looked at the deity of Christ in verse 15a of this very chapter. And we also looked at Jesus Christ and creation from 15b down to verse 17. Now this morning we will begin our study with Jesus Christ and the church, which is in verse 18. Paul's third important affirmation concerning Jesus Christ is his relationship to the new creation, all of the new creation, and especially his church. Because when Jesus Christ came from the dead and he went, all things became new, set up to what the Father would have it to be done, now by his church, entering into a whole new phase. But here, the Apostle Paul, he focuses upon the church in verse 8. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. And as we come to this church, this verse, excuse me, again, I believe this will be the help for us to go into the Lord's Supper. And so as we look at it, and let me open it up for you briefly, we find that what he says here beginning, he is also head of the body, the church. Now he begins this sentence, Paul, that is, with he. And all the commentators, and in the Greek, he said, this is an emphatic he. This is not just telling us he's this is he. It points to it. If we want to put exclamation points behind the he, underscore it and everything, put it in bold, it is to give us the point to look at him. He is also head of the body and the church. This makes him the very one who now all things that we're speaking about at this particular time, it points to him. It points to the position of Christ by virtue of his death. Paul showed him that he's gone through death and here's where he is. And he's there when he came out of the grave, all things was given to him. When he went into heaven, that was it. All things were set under Christ. So Paul, what he's doing, he's bringing all the focus on Jesus Christ now. This was something that the Colossian brothers, it wouldn't be something strange to them. They understood because their very salvation was because of what he had done for them. And they saw that. And Paul here is letting them to know that here is what we need to see. Another thing we're going to find out as we go on in the book, Paul is focusing on Jesus Christ because the false teaching which has come into the church, making him to understand that there is nothing above Christ. There are many that teach that today there's something above Christ. Here, Paul is saying, no, he is. And he calls it, he said, he is also the head of the body. The head here, the word here, it means the chief, one of whom others have subordinate roles under. It teaches us about the husband and his wife. What it says about the husband, he's head of the wife in Ephesians 5 and 23. Christ in his relationship to church, which is his body, he's head of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. He's pointing to that this is the very creation we have with him. We now are with Christ. Christ has made his church and is complete. And Christ is the one who is over his church. He has headship, means that a position of rule and authority. Would the God people would understand that today? There are people out there who think that they can do what they want to do. And God, in Christ even, has to go along with their plan. That's not what this Bible says. And here, Paul is allowing these Colossians to understand something about this one who is Jesus Christ. He is the one who is head over all things. Ephesians 1 and 22 it says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Putting Christ, and as we see him in the heavens, the one who is all things with the Father in the beginning, all things created by him. And he says, now all things is under subjection to Christ Jesus. But he says head of the body. The body here, speaking metaphorically, meaning a whole, everything together. You know, you can have a body of people, you can have everything making up a section or a whole. It's a collective mass is what he's speaking of. The whole body of Christians taken together, meaning the church. Ephesians 1 and 22 again, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Here, Paul wants the Christians that there in Colossae to know that he is the one that they fall unto, the one who they serve, the one who has saved them is the very one that they need to see and understand the position he has. In Ephesians 4 and 7 and down to 12, you find this verse, for he is the head of the body for what? For what he does and how he directs the body and what he gives to the body. Matter of fact, turn with me in Ephesians chapter 4. And notice what he says and everything. And the way the apostle here moves into the whole idea of what is being said. And he points to the very people and what it is, understand what it is. Look at verse 7 in Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. And he gave gifts to men. And notice, he ascended. What does it mean except that he who also had descended into the lower parts of the earth, he himself descended into he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And notice what he says, what he does here as far as the church is concerned. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Why? for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. And he is the one who's in control of everything. What the church is today is what God, Christ himself, he was the one who made it to be, and it will continue that way until Christ himself comes in the end. The wonderful words indicate the basic foundation of Christ and who he is, what he's done. But he says, for the church, church we know is called out one, meaning the assembly or the congregation. Galatians 1 and 2, and all the brethren which were with me unto the churches of Galatia. That's the way he writes his letter. Matthew 16 and 18. What did Jesus say? I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not have power over it. The churches of Jesus Christ, we find, is all through the scriptures, and you know and understand what he's saying here. The church of God in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, how Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says he's the one, and he's the one that speaks for the church, for Christ Jesus, who have all the churches connected to himself. Paul is speaking of all the redeemed people of God. The idea is that the church as a body of Christ, it teaches three things to us. It teaches, first of all, that the church is a living organism made up of members vitally connected together in Christ Jesus. Secondly, that the church is the means or agency that Christ uses to carry out his purposes and performs his work. And finally, that there exists an intimate and vital union between Christ and his people, each being incomplete without the other. Christ now raises from the dead. He's in heaven. He raised and he came for the church. The church, the two, church in Christ. In Christ, they are together. Vital union, what God is doing, what Christ is doing in the world. He's doing it through his body, the church. The Apostle Paul wants them to understand this. Because it's not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus. And I believe all what Jesus stands for is what he's coming to. And notice he goes on in that verse back there, and he in Colossians, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. These words indicate the foundation or the basic or foundation of Christ's headship over the church. How does he have this headship over the church? He uses the word here, the beginning. This word can be understood as the one of three ways in the beginning, supremacy or rank. In other words, he has the authority over, he rules over. Second way, by precedence and time. He came in existence first, before anything else, saying the beginning. Or it could be creative initiative, the one who brought something into existence, the means. In other words, he is the one who began this whole thing. When speaking of Jesus Christ, it points really to all of these, but it points essentially to the creative work is what Paul focuses upon right now. All of these are true of Christ Jesus, what he is, but he's saying he is the beginning. He began all things, meaning that in the beginning there was Christ. In the beginning there was the head. And if we can go back, and I believe we, by scripture, we can go back to the planting and starting of the church, or we can go back even to the beginning in time, because John himself tells us nothing existed without Christ who made all things. He created. He's the beginning, but he says now also, as he says the beginning, but he also says the firstborn from the dead. The word was used in verse 15 of this chapter, indicating that Christ was the firstborn of all things. There is indicating that everything that came, he was the one who came first, even in that. Here, he is using firstborn from the dead. In 15, there was a precedence of time. It talked about supremacy and rank. And that was the focus. But here, the focus is on something else. It's meaning the fact that who he is. And now, Christ is the first to become, that'll come from the dead through true resurrection. Nothing has happened like that before. No one has come through resurrection. And oh, we may look back and we think about one in the scriptures, but no, what Christ is saying here, this was the beginning of something that would have taken place in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Because Jesus was the first to be born from the dead, he possessed a new and higher life. Also, his people, due to their union with him, share in that new higher life. His being the firstborn instituted his place as the beginning or the origin and of the sovereign rule of all things, especially over the church. One man writes this way. He expresses it, from among the dead, Christ has passed to his throne where he reigns as the living Lord. Here's what Paul is saying to them. And John is saying, and this is the very thing he just said. Notice, turn with me to the book of the Revelations and know how here John himself, as he now writes, and speaking of what has taken place with Christ, notice what he says of Christ. Revelations chapter 1, he says in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Verse 4, John to the seven churches there are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead or of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And in verse 5 it says, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of all things. And so here, Paul is saying to them, he wants him to understand that this is what Jesus is. He is. And he says here, the firstborn of those who died in him have shared in his resurrection. Jesus' resurrection from the dead granted him and his this title of headship over all the churches, over everyone. The power of his resurrection, Philippians 3 and 10, is the very thing that puts him in the place where he is. Paul says in 3 and 10 of Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The picture is that he has gone through death, and we know that death. He's risen up. He's in God and the Father. We're going to go through that spiritual death also. This is what it's pointed to. We have a resurrection in our lives right now, but there will be an end when we go, and each and every one of us are laid in the grave. We will be resurrected also. He was the first one to do that. Christ's death was a real physical death. Ours is a spiritual one, and as we were dead in, to our trespasses and sin, brought out of that spiritual death, resurrected to true life in Christ Jesus. But we will die one day, dear brethren, in this world, and we too will be lifted up. Paul is saying to these Christians, yes, I wrote you this, and I got a wonderful word from Epaphras concerning your faith and who you are and how you are standing firm with him. He said, but I want to take you a little further, because he knew in the midst there are those who want to turn you to something else, but you need to place all on Jesus Christ and on Christ alone. The verse goes on, and he says, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. This statement is saying that Christ rose from the dead to take the position of the preeminence over everything, to become universal headship and power over all things. extending from first creation to the new creation. Remember, he was always first. But by his resurrection, he entered upon an even wider and more significant sovereignty. Romans 1 and 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ the Lord. In his very existence, he was the eternal, infinite Lord God himself. But by his new creation, in his finished and victorious sacrifice and risen life, he became the first place in everything. What a Savior. Hallelujah. He became supreme among all, sole head over all things, head of things in heaven, head of the things on the earth, head of the living and the dead. Christ controls it all. Nothing is outside of his power and his rule. They are all subject to him. Romans 14 and 9 says, "For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." This statement is saying that everything that exists is under the headship of Christ. This is the Christ who is now Lord of all. The Lord who on earth with his disciples said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." But brethren, what does this say to us? Who is Christ to you? What position does he have? Is he something that you see as a religious aspect? You come into life, you see the Christian faith, you understand it to some degree, and you're walking with Christ? And then you have the idea that maybe we can say to Christ what we want him to do and how we want him to serve us. Or have we become faithful servants to him who rules all things? And Paul here wants the Colossian believers to know that Christ is over them. All things is under Christ himself. How do you see yourself this morning? How do we see ourselves this morning? Is our lives in the hand of Christ, and everything that is coming to us, he has control over it? Or are we slipping through time? And things can happen. We don't know what can happen, but it can be something that will cause all kinds of problems to us. It is fate or chance. No. Christ is over all things. You and I, we came here this morning because Christ himself is the one who brought us here. No matter what you may be thinking right now, no matter what's going through your mind, and maybe there's some sin that you've committed through the week, and you say, "Well, I'm just going to go to church just to be the church, but I haven't really yet put away that sin." You're going to put it away if you belong to Jesus, because he's going to have every one of his subjects, they're going to serve him with truth and life and from the heart. We are not making decisions for ourselves. We are by the Spirit being brought to understand the decision that Christ have for us. And we work them out. Oh yes, flesh says, "No, don't do that to me right now. That's not so important to me. That, in fact, that's a little bit strenuous. You want to go and read the Bible?" And your body says, "Well, I'll read some other time. I'll read." And the Spirit is saying to you, "Go and read." You know, and you fight it back. Christ is going to bring each and every one of us to the very point where he wants us. We're going to grow up in Christ, and we're going to please Christ. And we're going to do all because he is the very leader. All things are in subjection to him. Dear people, you are also. And if you're here, you don't know if you're a Christian or not, you're still in subjection to him. Either you come the day when he welcome you into his kingdom, or he will say to you, "Into outer darkness." That place made for the devil and all who follow him. Dear people, we come to the table today. Christ said to us, do this in remembrance of me. Christ wanted each and every one of us to think about him. And I hope as we pass through time, I hope as we get older and older, we see and understand more about Christ. Love him more. Submit ourselves more to him. And Christ says, here, you have this. I want this to be before you. Statue. You would do this. And you would even take a clearer thought of who I am in your mind when you take the elements. This is my body. That bread. And you go through the very thing of eating that bread. Remember, there's no magic in the bread. There's nothing spiritual in the bread. The spiritual part of it when you and I find ourselves cling close to Christ and say, we're doing this for the service of Christ. You see, unconverted people can't take the Lord's Supper because they don't know him that way. And they should not take it. But here he says that. And then he says, this cup is a cup, the covenant in my blood. And where does that take us back to? Takes us right back to his death. But Paul is saying here, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is beginning and the firstborn from the dead. That blood reminds us that he died. He died for his people. And you and I who trust in him, we say, he died for me. Not for people out there. We come, it becomes a personal thing. He died for me. Oh, dear people, when we come to the table, we must move our hearts and minds from what was done in the past up there in the upper room. Yes, we go back to that very passage and we read it and we see what Jesus did. But if all we have of Jesus and the Lord's Supper is the upper room historical site and that's it, we are missing it. And the reason why I went on in this very verse here, because of what it says, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come and to have first place in everything. We do this to remind us, but in our hearts, we should be here holding fast to Christ and saying, my Lord is in the heavens right now. He is taking care of all things. He has power over all things. He has power over me. And I bow to him. And I come to him in true worship to him. And I ask the question, each and every one of us right now. Who is he to us right now? And I hope the answer is our risen Lord and Savior. And I will serve him with every fiber of my being. I give myself to him. I leave nothing for myself. It all goes to him. And that will be my life from this point on. And I can come to the table in my mind, knowing there's nothing that I hold from Christ. There's nothing that I hold for myself as a compartment that Christ can't have anything to do with. I am his and totally his because he died for me. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven. Thank thee for such grace, such mercy. Oh, we would hate to think where we would be right now if your love was not shed upon us and you have not brought us into your kingdom. And we have not seen these clear words in your scriptures telling us not what Paul told the brethren there in Colossae 1,000 years ago, but what you're telling us right now today. And, oh, Father, help us by your Spirit that we may even grow beyond this place and beyond this point. But let it be our Father. This would be our very heart right now, coming and taking the communion and knowing our risen Lord is with us, ruling all for our good. Hear and answer our prayer in Jesus' name.